Hey, that's Joe McBride. Hey, welcome everyone. This is The Buzz, Studio W. The Buzz, your global radio network. We circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in music, talk, sports, comedy, and a whole lot more. And now it's time for the Boomerang Radio Show. Got two of my favorite people out here. We've got Ann Wooten-Taylor. Hey, Ann.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, doing great, doing great. A little cool, but it's a really nice Sunday. Enjoying myself. Aww. Yeah, a little cool.
Congratulations, William. I'm glad you're adjusting.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that, but it is a nice, it's sort of breezy, sunny Sunday. But anyway, and welcome to the panel here, my good friend Mike Ward, a.k.a. Mad Mike. Hey, Mike, how are you? Your mic is muted. You're on mute. Okay. He'll catch up. Oh, there you are.
Sorry about that. I'm technology challenged sometimes. Said I'm very glad to be here with both of you.
And glad to have you. Glad to have you. And hopefully Dr. Sims will be joining us shortly. Hey, I did have, receive a message from Dr. Demery. Yesterday.
How is he?
He's doing better, much, much better. He's moving this weekend, and he said he missed the whole panel, and he'll be with us next Sunday.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Wonderful. Yes. So anyway, Ann and George, your program yesterday, you had a very interesting guest on yesterday.
I told him you were going to like him. Mr. Earl Mitchell. He is absolutely phenomenal. He's a scholar, and William can tell you, he just listening to him is like listening to the encyclopedia, but much more interesting.
Much interesting, much more.
He's very passionate. He's a scholar of African American studies, as well as an entrepreneur. He owns a company called Third Eye Media. But he's studied, African American, history extensively. And he went to school at Morehouse.
Wow.
Which, right. Of course, we also talked about his fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi, but he and I are, two of the authors, who were, recruited by Dr. Latanda Crossfield to be a part of the Love Manifesto anthology. So he was talking about his portion of that particular anthology, but it, you know, I couldn't help it. His background is just so awesome. The books that he has coming out, I can't wait to read them. All about, you know, African history in a way that you probably hadn't even thought about. Anyway, he enthralled us with not just talking about the Love Manifesto anthology, but, you know, about his field, which is African American history.
Great, great. You know, I can't wait for you to have him back, and hopefully we can have him back on one of our other platforms, perhaps even the Boomerang. So
I told him, I already put him on notice. I'm like, William liked you, so you will probably be doing the circuit. He is going to be on the Teens Talk Truth radio show, because his experience is the development of collegiate level mentorship programs that promote cultural identity and understanding. And so I can't wait to have him on, because he's the perfect person to talk about critical race theory, you know, its origins, what it's really about, and explain to the kids why it's such a hot topic, why people are whole government entities are trying to ban it, even though it's a college level, actually a graduate level study, type of topic. But anyway, so that he'll be on Teens Talk Truth to talk about that. But I did put him on notice that you would probably want him to come talk on the Boomerang and whatever other shows you decide on the platform. So he's excited about it.
Very interesting gentleman. And you know, the critics of CRT, and you ask them, what is it really? And they can't explain it to you. They don't know.
Yeah, that lady who has it all in her book, I can't remember her name, but she just really embarrassed herself so badly this week.
Right.
She was interviewed about it. It's like, you're talking about, no, she was talking about wokeism.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
And she didn't know what the heck she was talking about. And it's like, okay, so why are we putting this in a book if you cannot define the term?
Why? Yeah. I saw that she did embarrass herself. And, yes. You know, and it's like, you know, I am sick and tired of hearing these people. Yeah, woke this, woke that. Well, folks, you better wake up. Okay, you better wake right. up. But the thing about it is, I saw that and the host asked her, say, well, define, wokeism for us, define it. She could not define it. I said, how in the world are you going to write a book about something you don't even know what it means? This is crazy.
That's because they're speaking and acting out of emotion rather than fact.
Absolutely.
Good point.
The issue that I run across all the time in many different areas is people, well, this person's bad. Well, can you tell me why? Well, they're just bad. And they're just emotionally, they feel the person's bad. They're not lying to you. Those are their true and rightful feelings. But again, they can't articulate why this or that or whatever is bad or good.
Right.
You know, tell me, you know, if I disagree with you, and then explain it to me. Maybe I'll understand. Maybe I'll be on your side. I don't know. But you have to be able to articulate whatever stance you're going to take.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
And do it respectfully.
Absolutely. Agreed. Absolutely. Agreed. Yeah. You bring me an argument, and I'll listen. Okay. I will listen, but at least know what you're talking about. Okay. Then my ears are shut. If you can't define or tell me what you're talking about, then guess what? I have to walk away from that. But anyway, let's get to today. I'm so excited. Hopefully Dr. Sims will be joining us. But I wanted to talk about, and she also sent me a video clip. I'm going to attempt to play that through StreamYard. Mike and I, we just got a lesson this week on how to stream videos on StreamYard. You know?
So, yeah, Ethan.
Hey, Mike, you're probably a little bit better than I am. I'm, you know, you say that.
But your grandson, Kevin, was absolutely spectacular. So, again, thank him, pat him on the back, give him a kiss on the forehead, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Well, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. He handles all of our video, our technology, engineering, website, whatever we need here. He produces it for us, even down to the business cards and flyers. So just phenomenal, phenomenal young man. I'm very proud of him, you know. So, but I'm going to hold off for a few minutes before I play the clip. So hopefully Dr. Sims will be joining us. But, and Mike, you mentioned this as well. I was talking to Ann a little bit briefly yesterday about what the show is going to be about today, and I was talking about how scary some of this artificial intelligence is. And as a matter of fact, I saw something last week, and it was talking about how someone can just record maybe a couple of minutes of your voice and duplicate it. They can fake it just like you, like it's you. And Ann even took it a step further, and Mike, you brought it up also. They can even take your likeness and put your voice to it and come up with a whole different you, as if you were actually doing this. And I want to talk about it, and I want you to jump in on this, because, like I said, even though I am pro-technology, I am anti-invasion. And what I mean anti-invasion of people's rights, people's privacy, you know, and things of that nature, stealing someone's likeness, I'm not for that at all. Mike, also, we were talking about, you sent me a video clip of this gentleman that put a whole song together using artificial technology. Now, I'm going to have something to say about it when we get around to that, because, folks, you can have all the artificial stuff you want. You can have artificial sweetness. You can have artificial likeness, but don't mess with my music. Do not mess with my music. I want someone singing. I want somebody playing. And, you know, you can integrate a few things, you know, like maybe a drum machine or something like that here and there. But come on, I want to hear the person, playing and or singing.
Now, come on, William. Since like the 80s, they've had computerized music. I mean, you remember, who was that guy who sang that song, The Word Up and stuff like that? I mean, they had a lot of digital computerized types of music and those songs. And I mean, it's been around for a while.
But not the entire song, Ann.
I'm not saying the entire song, But I'm just saying, you know, Computer Love is one of those songs.
Yeah.
And it, yes. it doesn't sound like a human being singing it. It sounds like, you know, some a digital compilation of sounds going Computer Love.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that song right there, it was someone's voice, but they enhanced it with digital technology.
Okay.
So. I am talking about having a whole song made up. And it's not a, that person singing it, it's not that person playing it. Like I said, don't mess with my music. Okay. You guys can have your tea any way you want it. You can sweeten it with sugar. You can sweeten it with honey. I don't care. Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't mess with my music. Now, period.
Well, you will be very upset, if you had watched, I was watching the world news, last week. Well, no, the earlier, yeah, last week. And they had, the Open AI CEO Sam Altman on, and his well, it was kind of scary. if you were the type of person to be easily scared, he's the person who. Oh, I'm sorry that I pulled up the article and they've got the interview with him on. Sorry about that, guys, if you heard that, heard them talking to him, but I was trying to pull it up so I can get the accurate name of the guy and all that. But he is, his technology is so scary. He's put the United States government on notice that if they don't, come to the rescue, he's already being, hit up by Russia, China, those types of people, and he's afraid of what would happen if the technology gets into their hands. And when we talk about the technology, they were, you know, showing just examples of what it could do during the interview on air. And so they would give it a very complex, problem. Like say, for instance, a really complex word problem. They did that. And within, you know, a few seconds, it had the answer. And, it wrote out in other, you know, examples that they gave paragraphs of data, you know, when they just by giving a picture of certain stuff, you know, inputting certain things. Mm-hmm. It was like, wow, this is not something that should exist. Why would you do that? It makes no sense to me. I guess on the one hand, sci-fi television, sci-fi movies and books make that thing seem kind of appealing. I guess from my point of view, I don't see the need for all of that. I do see how technology plays a role in our daily lives. I just don't see how letting it make all of your decisions is a really good idea. I mean, I don't like Alexa or Siri doing anything for me. So, to tell a computer, you know, give it, you know, your homework assignment and tell it to do that. What have you learned? You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but.
Well, it depends on how you're looking at it and what it's being used for. Now, I use Alexa every day and I use it primarily for one purpose, and that is to tell Alexa to play Studio W. That's it. I'm serious about that because, we get clicks on Alexa as well as, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, our apps, the Studio W app, Android Studio W, Apple Studio.W, and the website. So I use Alexa and I've only used Alexa for that. Now sometimes, she will get it wrong and I have to correct her and then she gets an attitude, but that's okay too. All
right. She gets an attitude, really?
Oh yeah, she'll. Hey, Dr. Sims, how are you?
Hi. I'm good. I was looking for you. And, I said, well, maybe they're not recording today. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll record it. Oh, no, I didn't have it on StreamYard recording, but I did have it on our, on our broadcast system was recording. So we do want to include our, we do want to include Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. So we're connected now. But anyway, Dr.
Hi, everybody. Can I give an announcement though? I'm so proud.
Yeah.
My son, I got a call a couple nights ago. He's being promoted to captain on the police force.
Praise the Lord. Hey,
amen.
Awesome.
All right. All right.
Congratulations.
That's good.
Wonderful.
Now, what police force is he a part of?
I'm just going to say in California. I'm not going to say where he is, and the reason why I have my reasons.
Okay, okay. I understand. I understand. We enough
and
said.
I think Mike understands that too. I'm not having somebody got something against me. I don't want him going after my family.
You don't want to pin a target on his back.
Absolutely. I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. So that's okay. That's quite all right. Oh, by the way, I was just telling Mike and Ann that Dr. Demery will be joining us next week. And nice. he would have been with us last week, but he was having some technical problems. But he's moving this weekend, so he'll be back next week with us. So I told him that he always has a seat at the table, so we're looking forward to having him back. So anyway, I wanted to do this because we are talking about artificial intelligence and technology. Like I said, it has a lot of really good uses, and it does a lot. Like I said, I really like my GPS in the car. I really like that. Yeah. I haven't been gone for out of my home state and town here, RVA, for so many years. Things have changed so much. And believe it or not, I used to know this town like the back of my hand. And when I got back last year or came back last year, I couldn't find anything. I said, oh, no.
I know, right? I know that feel.
Oh, I couldn't. Right. And so I do use my GPS. I use it all the time. I like that. I like I said, I do like Alexa because of I can have her to play the station. And it'll play all day for me. And there's so many other things that I think that AI has a use for and can be useful to society, our communities, and so on. What I am concerned about is that I believe that some of the powers to be want to replace man from doing the out of jobs, okay, and have artificial intelligence to take over people's livelihoods, people's jobs, and things of that nature. I do believe I heard years ago about there are some powers that would like to have, or they are advocates for population reduction. Okay? And so I'm looking at those types of people that would totally be advocates for AI, you see. And so I think that everyone should have a right to work and to have a healthy lifestyle and be able to provide for their families. Now, Mike, we were talking about that before, okay? That with artificial intelligence, there's going to be so certain number of jobs lost, but there are going to be more jobs gained. But the downside of that is, and Michael, once you take over, the upside, there will be more jobs available. But the downside of that is, people aren't going to be trained to take over those jobs. Michael, would you comment on that?
Yeah, because the menial jobs, the repetitive jobs that artificial intelligence is capable of taking over and have already in many aspects. You go into McDonald's and got the little kiosk where you just punch in whatever you want to eat. So you've eliminated somebody behind the counter to some degree. But the problem with eliminating the menial jobs or the repetitive jobs, which spectrum of society does that hurt the most? It's the low-wage earners. It's the people that are living in communities that don't have a lot. So if you eliminate the numbers were 85 million jobs will be lost between 2020 and 2025. But on the plus side, there'll be 97 million jobs that will be created by 2025. But these are jobs that are requiring certain skill sets and skill levels and training and knowledge and education. So what's going to happen with AI, it's going to hurt the low-income part of our society. So how are they going to survive if they don't have the education or have the training to move into these higher skilled level jobs? So we're going to hurt a whole segment of our society by doing this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. There's no question about it. And so what I want to do right now, and hopefully, Mike, I have this thing figured out as well as you do, but let's see what's going on. I'm going to play a clip through StreamYard that Dr. Sims sent me earlier this week, and I sent it to the rest of you cats also. So let's see if we can make this work, all right? So in the meantime, let's do this, and I'm going to see if I can make this work for you. All right, here we go.
Smart cars, smart neighbourhoods, smart homes and smart appliances all connected to wireless networks and communicating with each other. So what's wrong with that? Technology is good, isn't it? All this is for your safety, security and convenience, isn't it? Well, let me tell you, your streets are spying on you. Your mobile phone is spying on you. Your cities are spying on you. And the infrastructure for future lockdowns is being put into place right now. Don't be fooled. You're being set up to be tracked through your movements and through the future of your digital wallets. By handing over your data, you're handing over the ability to monitor your behaviour, which will soon be turned into a social credit score. And once the central bank digital currencies are in place, you won't get to spend your money without approval. Digital ID will soon become a reality in Australia. Many other countries are already rolling these systems out, countries like Canada, Scotland and many others. Eventually, you won't be able to access any government or public services, and you won't be able to travel across borders or access healthcare or the internet without a digital ID. Think you won't comply? I think you will. The last 2 years were the dress rehearsal and we fell for it hook, line and sinker. Australians are sleepwalking into this technocratic future. And while we're sitting around scratching our chins trying to work out whether this is really happening, Australia is drifting towards a dystopian digital future.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Who was that? I didn't catch his name or anything.
Well, I don't think he gave the name in the very beginning, did he, Dr. Sims?
No, he didn't. You sent it to them, right? I was just doing some research on it, William, and I know you know that, but I think his name is actually on the actual, where I saw it on the site, and I'll probably just have to go back and look at it. And I got that from, YouTube? Mm-hmm. TikTok. Both of those entities are telling us what is actually going on. And William, I'm glad you played that because, people want to make us think that a lot of these things that are happening are false. But that's the picture that, the government is trying to paint to, the public, but they are doing some things that's so undermining. And I'm going to send you some more things. No, not today, William, that, even my son has researched, and he has to really be careful the information that he does receive. And Mike, and I know you're aware of some of the information he has to be somewhat silent on. And he's a Marine also, and he has to be silent on a whole lot of things. So all this stuff is not Memorex, as you know, the cliche life or Memorex. It is happening before our eyes. In fact, they're telling us that some of the stuff that they're putting on the advertisements that they're putting on television is made to appear like it's something that the imagination of your mind. They are now promoting I just saw a commercial with a robo dog on there who is actually doing, in fact, they had a bowl of pistachios, and this robo dog is so programmed and defined, it picked up one pistachio and deshelled it. And they said, good boy. And it was bouncing up and down like an actual dog. Now, this was on actual television, not something that's on TikTok or YouTube. But they're pushing these commercials. They are, in fact, the people are saying that they're telling us what they're doing right before our eyes. It's not hidden. But because so much false stuff has been piggybacking on it, you don't know what to believe. But we've been programmed for years to believe it. I'm going to make you laugh. I was thinking about, remember the Pied Piper? You know how he used to eat the children? Mm-hmm. That's just sex trafficking. Mm. Okay, y'all got quiet on me, but that's what it is. It's leading all the children out to the village.
Wow.
Okay, on a boat. Wow. And I told you to look Brother Mickey Mouse, okay? How he makes Swiss cheese. And I'm telling you, this stuff has been happening before our eyes. And we're thinking it's cute, and we're allowing our children to see these things. And they have been programming, or should I say deprogramming our mind, so that we cannot have a rational way of thinking. Bill Gates was sitting up there with a bunch of books. He's telling us what he's doing. If you look at the titles of those books, he had his legs crossed and looking at you like, here it is, okay? And if we're not conscious and being open-minded as to what is real, Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland. Why? And he talked about GMOs, because that GMO, it ruins the ground and it's not productive to replant. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. I have something else to send you, William, and you can pass it on to the team. where they named everything. They talked about chemtrails. They talked about everything. All of the substances in the food that they're putting in the water. And we think that we are safe. I know we're supposed to live healthy, but we're trying to live healthy and they're killing us at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so it is an immutable fact. Mm-hmm. It is. And we have got to wake up, folks, because what are we going to do? Depend on the Lord. And I know I always bring that in there, but what are we going to do? It is happening right before I was looking at some more things today. And I'm telling you, it's getting more defined on what is actually going on. People are making a cry. It's amazing how some people out in the world are waking up. Mm-hmm. You see the derailments of all of these trains. They're not telling us all of the trains that are being derailed, and they're not telling us about all of the chemicals that are being released in the air. And it's so funny how they're being derailed in close to a populated area where it is affecting the productivity of our land. And so we've got to get our head up out the sand. Because this is a slow process, because if they gave it to us all at once, of course, we would form a mutiny. But because we have been deprogrammed about reality, and it is serious, folks. It's serious.
Wow. And Mike, I know you've done a lot of research on this, and I want you to take it over because, and Dr. Sims, you're exactly right. Like I said, there are some really great uses of technology, and perhaps we'll cover some of those, and we'll also cover some of the dangerous uses of technology. And I always say, if you give even something that's supposed to be good in the hands of someone that's nefarious or somebody who wants to do an evil deed, then you've got a real problem, because you do have factors out here, factions out here that just want to kill off a certain part of the population. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, and this is, I know this is not the subject matter here, but I think that it can have some effect. Like you take all these mass shootings. Now, we've had in this country, supposedly the greatest country in the world, over 110 mass shootings this year alone. Mm-hmm. 110, and I'll guarantee you, combined, the other countries don't have that combined right now. We have more guns than anyone else. Over 400 million guns, 450 million guns in the United States. Now, a lot of people out here. Now, think about that. That's more than a gun and a half for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. More than one and a half. And some of us don't own guns. So, what does it have to say? You know, now I understand that there are some people, now it's okay, for people who want to protect their families. I understand that, or self-defense. I understand it completely. Okay. But I don't think you need an AR-15 to do it or an AK-47 to do it. And what is wrong? And Mike, I want you to jump in this period. You have responsible gun owners that want deeper and more thorough background checks. Am I right?
Oh yeah, I'm one of them. I'm very pro gun. Sorry if you disagree with me, but guns are a tool, and as Dr. Sims will tell you, it's a tool that she protects herself with. And ladies, and this is just my personal opinion.
And too, don't forget Ann's packing.
Oh, are you?
I'm up there. You keep packing.
Yes, sir.
He got it.
Y'all don't have to tell a business.
You told me.
He sure did. See, she told all of us now.
Right, what? Right, right. The whole world already knows.
Okay,
go on, Mike.
The best way for women to equalize themselves or protect themselves from big and ugly evil is to have some type of a tool to use to do exactly that. Now the problem is when you start to try to take away guns from the law abiding, which most of the law abiding people I know, even including the NRA, they want those background checks. They don't want to have gun owners painted in negative light. And the issue is if you start restricting the legal gun owners, if I give you a piece of paper and you write down how many of the laws that the criminals are going to, gun laws that they're going to follow?
No.
The criminals aren't going to follow. They don't care. So, right. So when they create more and more hoops to jump through And I, again, I'm for a fair amount of hoop jumping. If you're going to carry a deadly weapon out in public, you should have training, required training. You should have maybe some type of mental evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want just anybody running. I used to do the CCW, the concealed weapons permits for my county. I was the one issuing them, or at least one of my crew. We're one of the top five counties out of 58 counties in California. We're one of the top five counties issuing concealed carry permits. And from our concealed carry people, we've had next to no issues at all because we make them, well, because of California, they're required to go through a training class, a big class in the beginning, and an ongoing class every 2 years. So I think classes, education, so people know when and how they can use that deadly weapon. But I think if you equalize everybody, an armed society, and you guys have probably heard this statement, an armed society is a polite society. Because if you go to Florida, you don't know who's packing down there. They don't have near the gun issues or the criminal element because the criminals know that grandpa's got a gun probably. And they've had people with CCWs intervene in robberies and such that have done good. So it's a tightrope that we're walking here between good and evil, which is, we talk about that all the time, William, is good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
But restricting the good without being able to restrict the evil, what have you accomplished?
Absolutely. I've got a question. And you said something very interesting. You say even the NRA want stricter gun laws, then what is up with the politicians that will not pass reasonable, sensible gun legislation? What is it up with them? Because the NRA pad a lot of their pockets, but yet they even go against what the NRA wants. So what's up with that?
Well, there's some issues with the NRA as well. I'm not saying that they're glorious and nothing but sunshine and roses and halos. Dr. Sims, I think you had something you wanted to say about that. Come on.
About what? Our good old government?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. What type of gun control laws the NRA wants to implement.
No. Okay. What I'm saying is, I'm just taking something that Mike said. Even the NRA wants stricter laws than our own Congress and Senate are willing to pass. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm just saying, I would like to know what their idea of a stricter law is.
I'm not going to back the NRA 100%, but it's my understanding they don't have problems with deeper background checks. And everybody that I know that's a law-abiding citizen that has a gun or cares for guns or whatever, they're all for the deeper background checks, and not all the states have it. So yeah, that's one of the good things that the NRA is promoting, to the best of my knowledge. Again, they've got, you know, a lot of these organizations, it's about the money.
Of course,
you
of
know,
course.
I have an issue because it almost appears to me, and maybe my mind just goes so far, but they want to do these gun laws, but yet they're still allowing the guns to get into the hands of the wrong people. Just like drugs or anything else, they have to keep it going. You have neighborhoods, they can't export these guns in here. They don't have the wherewithal to get them in here. Somebody is supplying, okay? Now, we know we have a lot of crooks and cartels and what have you, but a lot of these politicians are getting their hands padded by them even. Let's just be honest, come on. When it comes to money, their rationale of thinking, it's all about how can I fatten my account? How can I fatten my lifestyle? I believe that sometimes when they say, well, we want to stricter gun law, that to me, in most cases, I'm not saying it all, is a facade, man. Come on. Just like, well, the, you know.
Well, not in our Congress. They'll come right out and they don't want it. I mean, I'm talking about, they're open with it. I mean, they are not pretending these days, Dr. Sims. Okay. You have a lot of our politicians that refuse to pass stricter gun laws.
But what's their rationale? What is their reasoning? To me, it's very
funny. Oh, I tell you what, their reason is, you're not taking away my Second Amendment rights. Nobody's taking away their Second Amendment rights. All we're saying is that no kid at 18 years old, and I don't care. And this is my personal opinion. You guys can get mad with me all you want out there in our audience, whatever it is. I don't think that AKAs and AK-47s should be sold, period.
Mm-hmm. They don't. No.
That's my opinion. That is my opinion, and it's mine, and I'm keeping it, okay? You can get angry all you want. They should not have, and especially a child 18 years old, he can't even get, he can't go in a liquor store and buy a drink.
Come on.
How in the world is he an 18 year old supposed to be able to get their hands on an assault rifle?
Nobody should, but
black market. It's black market.
My problem with the gun control issue is real simple. This week at Alex's school, they had to do a lockdown because some kid had a weapon at school.
Are you serious?
And Alex and his class could hear them arguing or fighting or whatever it was, and they had to barricade the door. My child in his classroom, he didn't want to go to school the next day. So we let him have a mental health day. No kid should have to go through that. And he was trying to comfort me at first. Mom, I'm okay. But I was ballistic. I'm like, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
No one should have to deal with this.
That's right.
Kids shouldn't have to be barricaded. We didn't have to do that. Were you ever, you know, having drills at school about what to do in case there's an active shooter event?
No.
I don't have a problem with Smith & Wesson 38-22. I don't have a problem with any of that. Mm-hmm. You can have all of that, and your Second Amendment rights are protected as far as I'm concerned. But when you start talking about needing assault rifles, body armor, these are people that are preparing for a war. That's the kind of stuff you use in a war zone. And if you don't believe it, I would suggest you rewind the clock to January 6th.
Come on.
Because they showed you what they are fighting for, why they want those types of weapons. I don't need all that to protect myself from somebody breaking in my house. I don't want to, you know, spray the whole wall and shoot it out. That's not necessary. I just want to aim at you. You know what I'm saying? Now, if I'm on a battlefield and there's a platoon of people across from me shooting at me, then yeah, I need something that can, you know, take out a whole line of folks coming my way. But you don't need that in everyday life. You don't need that for hunting. You don't need that for self-protection. And you certainly don't need that for, I don't know, just anybody. I don't care if you're 18. I don't care if you're 99. You do not need that on a regular basis. And this is me, as y'all have outed me, somebody who doesn't mind having a gun. But anyway, we've gotten a little off the subject. I want to address something else.
I got to jump in here real quick. Okay. Keep in mind, the Second Amendment was never about hunting deer. It was never even so much about home protection. The Second Amendment was put there to be able for the citizens to fight tyranny.
Exactly.
So everybody keeps talking about shooting Bambi with an AK-47. That is not what the Second Amendment was ever about. And again, you can create all the laws you want. Which ones are the criminals going to follow?
Huh. We don't expect them to follow any law. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is just a few weeks ago, you know, they had some event here. And you could get a free rifle if you showed up.
What?
That is ridiculous. Wow. You can open a bank account, and part of opening the bank account is you get a gun, an assault rifle. Really?
Wow.
Why? Why do those two things even go together? That is insanity. It makes no sense.
What?
Wow.
I'm talking about a Little Rock.
Now the other issue, Ann, is the problem that was created with our schools, and those kids and those teachers and those administrators should always feel safe on those grounds. That should be hallowed ground.
I couldn't agree.
But what happened is they made the schools no or gun free zones. So if you're a criminal and you want to hit a soft target, Where are you going to go? This is one of the reasons why the evil in this world is attacking schools, because they want to terrorize, and they know that those are soft targets with very little defense. So why do we put our children in a gun-free zone where they don't receive the protection they should receive?
Well, it's not gun-free anymore. You've got cops on the school premises. I mean, I know this because I've had to go to court with some parents because certain kids are singled out as troubled kids. In this case, I was representing somebody whose child had a disability. But those types of kids sometimes get flagged. They can't help that they've got an issue that makes them a little harder to deal with. But you got police on campus, not just arresting them, but, you know, giving them tickets too, so they got fines to pay. These are kids, folks. And a lot of times they're kids with serious issues, but you've got a cop who's on the premises. You got
medical
inspectors on the premises. Somebody's got a gun. It may not be.
They're not there all the time. Sometimes there's one resource officer that covers three or four schools. So.
And I know it's different in every area. I know it is. I think some
areas, some have no resource officers.
That's true. And it depends on the area that you're in. I can tell you that before we had the active shooter incidents and there was a bunch of crime gang activity, that you had those resource officers in specific neighborhoods, whereas the other neighborhoods, more upper class neighborhoods, didn't have that issue at all. Now it seems to be a bit more across the board because we know it's not just, you know, drug dealers that come to schools and cause problems. You have everyday people. Sometimes it's a student themselves coming to school, shooting up the place. But again, I wanted to say something else. Y'all got me all hyped up on something that made me mad last week. Made me really mad. We were talking about AI. And the effects of AI on society. And one of the things you said, William, was population reduction. That is nothing new. They've been talking about population reduction for decades. And part of the reason for that is because, just like people have been sounding the alarm for decades about climate change and what we're doing, to the atmosphere, they've been sounding the alarm about, okay, look, the earth can only support so many people, as well as the wildlife that we have on the planet. And so because of that, you've had nations actually trying to curtail the population. For example, China had a one-child policy for a long time.
Sure did.
Because they had a billion citizens. Well, it's kind of backfired on them. They made it a law that you can only have one child. Well, on the one hand, they've got a culture that has a preference for males. So you had women who were having abortions when they found out that they were having females because females were not valued as much. So you got now more men than you have women. Then on top of that, you've got an aging population and the cost of caring for an aging parent is very expensive, not just here, but there too. So a lot of those people have, those children who've grown up under that law have decided, okay, we're not going to have kids because we got to take care of our parents later on. Mm-hmm. So their population is dwindling. And it's the same thing in Russia. It's the same thing in Europe. It's the same thing here. Not that we've implemented some law, but because since about at least the 1960s, we have been learning in school, conservationists, scientists have been saying over and over again that the earth can only stand so much of a population. And even still, we've hit 8 billion people. Now, you've got, on the other hand of that, nations not being able to replenish their populations, and they are considering that a national security threat. So they've gotten creative and how to replenish their populations. I think Russia was offering people, couples, a new washing machine and dryer or refrigerator if they were having a baby. And it's like, please, who are you trying to fool? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't working. And the United States have been making those same types of, well, we've been noticing as well that people aren't having as many babies as they used to. So you've got on the one hand, the governments who are upset because the populations aren't replenishing themselves the way they want them to. And then on the other hand, you've got scientists and conservationists telling us all that we need fewer people on the planet in order to be able to, you know, everybody have a job, everybody have a place to live, everybody have enough to eat. I still believe on the scientific side of this thing that we got way too many people. If you have fewer people, you have less pollution, less trash, you have fewer mouths to feed. I think overall it's a positive if we have fewer people on the planet. And then you have less foolishness. I just say that because the more people we have, the more idiocy we seem to have too. I'm not saying that, you know, that with a smaller population, it would just be the smart people who own the planet. I'm just saying, you know, you may have a few less of the mentally challenged folks. Yeah.
No, you're right on that.
But that's just me. That's just
well, can I jump in there? And we're talking about population control, and mm-hmm. I know that the artificial intelligence and all this is going to play into all of that because, as from what I'm understanding, everybody has to be on some type of register. And I'm just using that term, you know, mm-hmm. within limitations, but everybody has to be documented as to what have you. And I believe that artificial intelligence, it wants to decipher the type of population as far as the ethnic, the female, male, what have you. And when you were talking, and you know, I have to go biblical. Mm-hmm, and some folks gonna get mad at the girl, and I'm good with it. I love stirring up some stuff. Okay, I must be William's sister anyway, from another mother. Hello. Anyway, don't let him hear that, okay? What I'm saying in the Word of God in Genesis, it says, it doesn't say anything about population control. Instead, humans are told to be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
And that's in the book of Genesis, in case y'all want to find it. It's in the first chapter. Mm-hmm. But me reading on down, in a population of people is the glory of the king. And it starts talking about the Lord. But here's what has happened, folks. And also the Bible says nothing about population control, as I just read. But he didn't curse the population. God said, fill the earth, not to overpopulate it. Okay, here's the deal. Now, what is going on? It is the sins of the people, and let's just be real about this thing. They have no sense of control. Everything goes. You have a lot of, and we just have to say it, illegitimate children at the behavior of adults who are irresponsible. You have everything is going down. Everybody having sex. Listen, look, I'm going to be real here. Everybody having sex. You have 13, 14, 15-year-old girls having babies. They're unqualified to be parents. There is no sense of control of emotions. Back in the day, we were taught better. I know I'm going to put you in that equation too, Ann. We were taught better. Mm-hmm. We were taught, you know what? Keep your dress down and your legs closed because they ain't just going to open at midnight, but your skirts, come on.
Morals? Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Very high morals. And it's like now, because things are so widely and so out of control, mm-hmm. and there's no basically a limited direction in the homes, instruction in the homes. The young boys are not taught by, because there's not many men around to teach their sons, and women are trying to be like their daughters. It's just a rat race, and there is no sense of, and you said it right, Mad Mike, I'm just, okay. You said it right.
There's I'm sorry, I didn't see his name. I'm sorry.
Okay. There is no sense of morals being in right. today. Mm-hmm. It's like free love. I mean, the hippie season. You know,
it's all hippies.
Everybody. Okay, it is what it is. And right. there is no sense of talking the negative of the ramifications behind your behavior. And if you don't have that kind of teaching, guess what? the child is going to know, okay, my sexual hormones is out of whack. Guess what? I'm getting ready to please them. You got some old folks that need to sit. Okay, did I say that yesterday?
Yeah, say it again.
And get themselves together as well, because we had examples back in the day. Come on now. Mm-hmm. We had some good examples. Our grandmothers taught us. Our mothers and fathers had some sense taught us. And I was halfway, I'm just going to say I was halfway scared, because there was 10 of us girls at home. And
halfway.
My daddy was having it.
Okay? I know, that's right.
Having it. And the thing is, too, now, you have a population that's having all of these children, and guess who the responsibility is on? It's on, most of the time, it's on the parent or the grandparent to raise these children, or the child, because it's so open for you to go ahead and get and kill the baby. Come on, I'm just going to be real. Mm-hmm. I believe in, if somebody is sick, now don't get me wrong, they, you know, they have to take care of themselves, but just having babies because you are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You are just, and the males are out of control. There's a period of time in teaching where the hormones get to a level that if they're not taught how to control that, guess what? Mm-hmm. They are going to please themselves, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether it be with the woman or with themselves. Look, people don't like to talk plain like this.
Right.
Because we are in trouble, because the world is out of control. If you've got dignitaries that's out of control, come on now. If you got folks in the White House that's doing everything.
Right.
And Congress.
Huh? What'd you say, Mike?
And Congress as well, not just the White House, and Congress on both sides of the
I was going to wrap it down. We talk about the church. We talking about the school.
Yes.
We talking about everybody is out of control. Preach out of one side of your mouth. Preach us to hell. And then you got a side piece in the next corner. You raping children. And you're trafficking this. And you molesting boys. And let's just put it on the table the way it is. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. And I would believe that, because we've taken, I would not me, but I'm saying that the world has taken the power away from God. Now they're walking in their own ignorances. They're acting like they are gods. Okay. So they are controlling things. And guess what? They have, and this is nothing new under the sun. It really is.
Right.
It's just coming around again. That's all it is. But the thing is, this is because they have defined things more. They didn't, back in the Old Testament, they didn't have artificial intelligence, but you think, you know.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. And you would think the way some people think there was in artificial intelligence, because they were manipulative. And some of them in the instances, if people study back in the Old Testament. But now we've got machines who are telling us what to do. And then you have, well, you said something, Anne, you said having one baby. China used to do that, but they one of the most overpopulated, and something went wrong. When you control them like that, it's like they're walking like ants together. There's not enough room to even hardly drive their cars, and they have to drive bikes, and they're under the dictates. So this kind of thing, flesh has messed up God's plan, period.
Yes.
Has gotten there and destroyed the plan of God, because we wouldn't be in this chaotic time had we trusted in the Lord. So, yes, one lady came to my house. She had 18 kids. I'm like, wait a minute. Ooh.
That's pre-birth control stuff there.
I'm going to tell you, because that's the way the teaching has switched up. She had 18 children and no daddy at home, okay? So she came to me. I had my last baby, 3. She says, well, you know, the Lord said be fruitful and multiply. I said, he didn't tell me to do it by myself. But that's some of the myths that came from the church as well. Were fed to the young women, okay? All of this. I believe that in everything there is a sense of control.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sense of control that I believe that God has given us to control. Control this. Control your sins. Control your thoughts. Control your feelings. I really believe that God has equipped us with that. But when you have that other booger, his running stuff, okay? Yeah, it's out of control. And the more perverted it gets, the more problems we have.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, whether it be for the artificial intelligence. Mike, I was afraid. And I was thinking about that when you said those folks that are programming. And I thought about what you said, programming these computers
bias.
I had another sense of desire as to the outcome. I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm going to tell you all this, and I'll be done. When my babies, I was going through a hard time, and I was going through a divorce, and I had three children, small children. I'm trying to work three jobs as little, you know, before I caught my niche in life. And I went through a period in time, and I needed some assistance. And I thought about this just the other day, Mike, when you were saying, I said, they have really got a program to ID a certain ethnic group so that you would not benefit for what the government has for us. They wanted to give me $10 to feed my three babies. But yet somebody walked up, because I was always taught to present yourself decent. I don't care if you got two nickels to rub together. They looked me up and down, looked me up and down. I was clean. Why would I have to go in there and be dirty and my hair all over the place? I would. That's not the way I was raised. So when I walked in there with my professional self in between, they looked me up and down and only gave me $10, but they let somebody walk back in behind me, and gave them, who were not even registered to be a citizen, over $400 for two children. Hmm. Now tell me, the computer again has me ID'd as who I am, a black woman, okay? My Social Security IDs me. It is what it is. So that's why I'm afraid with this artificial intelligence, it's going to be more of a hindrance to some and a blessing to others. Mm. That's my take.
Well, you know, I tell you what, you, very interesting point. Then I'm going to toss it over to Mike. You brought up something before AI. We had role models. We had parents in the home. And all the three of you know about this story where I told you about how I thought my grandma was going to kill me one day. And
just one day, William?
Yeah.
Just one time?
Look.
Look, that's all it took. That's all. Look, I'm telling you. I thought my mom could issue out a beating, but nothing like my grandma.
Wow.
And I told you how, I told you how I disobeyed her one time. And it was a small, thing to me, you know. You know, she just said, don't leave the yard. I just took one foot out of the yard, one foot. You know, jumped back and she took it as I was defying her, right? And so I'm going to tell you, in case you guys don't know about it, my panel does. So she said, man, she used to call me man, get me a switch. So I'm going to be cute. And I broke off a twig. She said, She said, no, you playing me. This woman, I'm not exaggerating, folks. She went out on the tree and broke off a branch and beat me. Good Lord. I thought, you know what? I never disobeyed her again. No, little or small or nothing like that. I never did it again. But what I'm, the moral of this story is, we had parents that parented. I was not, my mom said, I am not your friend, okay? Let's get that through your head. All right?
Right.
And yeah, I'm not going to go out partying with you. Okay? You're not going out partying with me. All right? I'm going to find out exactly what you're doing and you'll never know what I'm doing, okay? Right. So, but the point is that we had role models. We had parents that knew. They want to know where you were, what time, and they'll give you time to come home. And if they say be home by 11.
Who you were with too. They want to know who you were hanging around.
Who you were hanging around, absolutely.
Yes.
And now the parents today, they've gotten so lackadaisical, they are letting the computers babysit their children. They're letting the TVs, the Xboxes, the Y boxes, the Z box, whatever box they have. Okay, they want
X, Y, and Z. Okay.
All of them, all of the boxes. But
artificial intelligence,
folks. I'm telling you again, there are some things that I think are necessary in life, but when you start taking away man's livelihood and the ability to learn, just like Mike said, there's going to be a ton of jobs out here, but who's going to work them if you don't have the education or the training, right, Mike?
You need the skill set. So if you don't have the skill set and AI's taken over your menial job, how are you to survive when you can't even get an entry-level job because AI took it over?
They have a remote car now.
An entry-level job is a stair step so that you get your schooling, You still go to school, get your entry-level job, and then with more schooling, you step up, and then you step up, and then you step up. This is how society is supposed to work, is you grow with your education, and then you move forward. You take your next step. But this is going to eliminate the first step.
Absolutely.
So what do you have to do? You have to get a bachelor's in something before you can even get a job? Is that where we're headed?
It's absolutely incredible.
We've been there.
What's going on now?
I mean, if you
got people in doctorates with out in the street, homeless, right, because they can't get a job.
Working in factories, so, even.
Yeah,
because they do.
Computers are taking over. They are taking over. And I, I'm sorry.
You're 100% correct.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just saying, it's happening now. You already have to have almost an advanced degree to excel.